friends here and family and ministers. I think Brother Isaac's here somewhere. Brother Isaac. Hi, my brother. He's in East Haven with the church there with, I think some of the Danzos are there. Brothers, good to see you, brothers. Praise the Lord. And we're blessed just to have them have their service merged with us this morning. So it's nice. Sister Doreen Danzo's up in Albany, New York. So keep her in prayer. She's kind of out in the cold country. We have to pray for her. And we're trying to help her find a good church to go to. So God bless her. Amen. You got your Bible with you? We're in Luke chapter 2. Luke spends a lot of time in the first two chapters talking about how Jesus came to earth. Amen. Who he is and what it's all about. We're going to begin at verse 8. And it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." I think we'd all react that way, don't you? "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" I'm so glad they know what we're feeling sometimes, right? Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ or Messiah the Lord." Hallelujah. "And this will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." That's just an odd sight, a baby laying in a trough for animals to eat out of. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying," and this is where we're going to get our thought today, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." May God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to just kind of deal with this thought called masterpiece. When we think of masterpiece, we think of something an artist has put together. We think of something that Michelangelo might have done or Beethoven might have written, a famous piece of music. And we think of that as a masterpiece. If there ever was a masterpiece, it's our master, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's produced it, amen? So I want to speak about that, but what we're doing is we're just changing the last part of that and make it into two words. So it's master and peace, and the word peace there is spelled P-E-A-C-E, meaning the kind of peace you experience that we just read about in the Bible, peace on earth. How many believes that peace on earth was fully God's intention? When he sent a Savior, the purpose of the Savior was to produce peace on earth, and especially in earth, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what that means. People today will ask the question, you know, how in the world can there be peace on earth? I mean, look around. We're living in the 21st century. There's still wars everywhere. There's been rumors of wars, nations rising against nations. How in the world did Jesus bring peace on earth? Isn't it true that everything remains the same as it always has been since the beginning of time? But I promise you today, and I want to do, by the grace of God, my best effort here to prove to you that there's peace on earth like never before. Hallelujah. But you can look around and you can see a lot of those things. But Jesus makes it very clear that he didn't come to try and get all the nations to get along and all the different nationalities and different tribes to love one another and get along with one another. I mean, ultimately, that's coming. But that was not his initial purpose, because he's a God who knows about doing first things first. Amen. You cannot set up the best regime you can imagine, like maybe a communist regime, and expect that you're going to have everyone just get along perfectly because you force them to do it. It won't work. We are human beings. We're not simply programmable robots, you know, where you can make them do something with threat. It's not going to work. We are independent, individual beings made in the image of God. God is a free being, and he made us to be free and to be agents of choice. We get to choose, amen. We get to make decisions, and we have to answer for those decisions, but that's the way God made us. We're free moral agents. Is that true? But Jesus made it very clear that there was a peace he's bringing to earth, not the kind that the world is talking about organizing some kind of a peace. But he says this, peace I leave with you. So as he's moving off the scene in John chapter 14 and they have the Last Supper, Jesus says, I'm leaving you with peace. I'm leaving you, but I'm leaving you with peace. I like to think of it as he's leaving us with a piece of himself. Amen. He's giving us part of himself. And he says, my peace I am giving you. Isn't that beautiful? My peace I'm giving you. Not as the world gives. Forcing it on you, taking it away if it doesn't like what you do. That's the way the world does everything, right? But Jesus is very clear. I'm going to give you peace, and this peace I'm giving you is my own peace, the kind I've been enjoying. Look at all the scenarios Jesus went through, all the challenges, all the attacks. They tried to stone him. They wanted to kill him several times. They attacked him with words. They attacked him politically, every way you can imagine. And yet Jesus just seemed to cruise right through 3.5 years of ministry. That was a man that had peace in his life. That's the kind of peace he's giving us. He didn't live up on top of a mountain with his arms folded or, you know, trying to learn how to say a new mantra. Jesus was not doing that. There's nothing wrong with doing that. If someone wants to do that, I don't know. Maybe there's an issue with that. But Jesus very clearly was making it clear that in the greatest pressures of living life, I can live in a state of peace. Yes. And I'm going to give you this peace. Not as the world gives it. And the world can take it away, right? But he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, that's a powerful thing. Now, how is that possible? There's so many times when we let our hearts be troubled. You know, Jesus is very clearly, he understands human beings. And when problems come our way or we start getting anxious about the future, what we're doing is we are letting our hearts be troubled. We are in control. We don't think we are, but we are. We are letting our hearts be afraid, and he's telling us, I'm going to give you a peace. So for that reason alone, take control of your heart. Don't let it pull you along. You control your emotions. And now the question is, how can we do that? Well, let's talk about the Master's peace, Jesus' peace that he leaves us. It's fivefold. And this is something that you should always have in mind, because the quality of the peace that Jesus gives, It is more important than any other kind of peace. If we could solve all the wars in the world, if we could solve all the starvation, that would be wonderful. But if we don't get this peace first, the rest of it will never come. Amen. So number one, peace with God. What would be the point of having peace with your fellow man, your friend, your husband, your wife, or whatever, if you don't have peace with God? And it really is hard to establish any other kind of a harmonious relationship with anybody or anything if we don't have peace with God. The Bible says peace on earth. That's a promise the angels gave. That kind of peace where God's peace or we have peace with God, that's powerful stuff. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have nothing to worry about. God is not standing there or sitting there with his arms folded, angry, upset with you, wanting to, you know, smack you around a few times. Now, there's times when I wonder why he doesn't do it. Not to you, to myself. But I'm sure you go through that where you're like, oh, I deserve this. Oh, I should go through this. We have the wrong concept. Jesus, by great expense, paid for you to have peace and harmony with your Heavenly Father. You get to call him Papa God because he is your Father, and Jesus himself, he made a way for us to have peace with God. Do you appreciate that? Amen. The second quality of this peace I'm speaking about is we get to have peace among God's children. We get to have peace with each other. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:13, be at peace among yourselves. Now, it's a bit of a command there, but because we have peace with God, we can have peace with each other. Now, what do you see around the church world, or what do you see around the ranks of our believers? A lot of times people are at odds with each other. You know what I believe that is? They may have peace with God, but they haven't figured out how to translate that into peace with their fellow man. One thing that I've learned is that if you have peace with God, all the other stuff can work out. If you have peace, so it could just very well be, you know, the devil's a smart guy, right? So you can move in there and try to remove the sense the feeling that you have peace with God. It doesn't change the fact that you still have peace with God. And as long as you don't feel like you have peace with God, then you're going to struggle with having peace with your fellow man. True? So we can do that. Here's a third quality, peace with your enemies. Now, that you're saying, wait a minute, you just said peace with my brother and my sister in Christ, and my family members. I get all that. Peace with my enemies. Here's what the Bible says here in Proverbs 16:7. Not just going to read from the New Testament. We'll get something out of the Old Testament, right? When a man's ways please the Lord, God makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Amen. So it's a bit of an indirect, but as long as you have this connection with God, it's an unbroken and absolutely you're aware of this unbroken, beautiful peace. How many can say amen? Peace with God. Hey, I hope you do. If somebody here doesn't have peace with God, we're going to work on that today. But peace with God and peace with your brother and sister in Christ, then there's no reason why you can't have peace even with your enemies. There's a scripture in the Bible that says even your enemies that abuse you or mistreat you, do something good for them. You'll be putting coals of fire on their head. That's a different way to have peace. But you can have peace with your enemies according to the scripture. And a fourth characteristic is peace between the Jew and the Gentile who receive Jesus as Messiah. This may not seem that important, but it really is, because what it's doing is it's God showing us that no matter what our race is, our background is, we can have peace with each other. We don't have to try to change the other person to be us, or to be like us, or to have our culture. Everybody is a different beautiful rose or flower in the garden of God. He doesn't want to have all red roses. Can you imagine if every flower was a red rose? It would now lose its meaning. In fact, if a dandelion popped up, we would fight for it. We would spend all kinds of money to get the dandelion. That's just the nature of the way things are. One day, you know, gold we think is so valuable is going to be pavement in heaven. Isn't that going to be funny? Gold is just going to be pavement in heaven. We're going to think nothing of it. So this is a valuable part of the whole story that God is telling in the Bible and all through history, that he had picked out a nation by Abraham, choosing him, and blessed that nation and raised it up, but it did fail. But yet God's intention is still to have a nation called Israel, even though he's not so concerned with a physical people that are Jewish. He's looking for a spiritual people that are Jewish. So in this way, he's bringing the Gentiles in. So God isn't saving the Gentiles and leaving you where you are. We who are from other nationalities, he saves us, but he brings us near to the Jewish concept, to be a special chosen people who know how to worship and glorify God. That's what the word Jew actually means. It comes from Judah. Judah means to be able to raise your hand and worship God. How many loves that? Amen? And so, it's a little lengthy, but Ephesians 2:14 really backs this up. For he himself, Jesus, is our peace. Don't you love that? It's something amazing that Jesus says, the peace I have, I'm going to give to you. And then he turns around and he says, but I am that peace. That's pretty good, right? You're not just getting any old thing. Jesus is peace. Peace for us is a person. Amen. Peace for us is him. Do you love that? Who has made both Jew and Gentile one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity between Jew and Gentile. He got rid of it. It's amazing because as you read the Old Testament, you see God actually enforcing and encouraging this enmity. Keep separate from the Gentiles. Don't marry any of those Gentile women, you know. Stay away from their gods. Stay away from their culture. And he really separates these Jews to himself. But God doesn't change his desire or his concept. He wants a separated people to himself. And that's what makes you spiritually a Jew. How many here is a Jew today? Praise the Lord, that's pretty amazing. You don't all look like Jews, but okay, I guess you are. Because the Bible says we are one spiritually with the circumcision that's not in the flesh, but made in the heart, to cut out the thoughts and the mindsets of the world and now have the new mind, the mind of Christ. Praise the Lord, that's a real Jew and the Israel of God. So he says he broke down the middle wall partition, abolished it in his flesh, the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross. Thereby, it's a long sentence, thereby putting to death the enmity. He came and preached peace to you Gentiles who were afar off, and to those who were near, the Jews. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And really what he's doing there, what he's showing and demonstrating there, and the Bible is demonstrating the whole purpose, the gospel, is that in Christ, it doesn't matter if you're Jew, Greek, Gentile, it doesn't matter if you're smart, not the sharpest tool in the shed, it doesn't matter if you're African, American, South American, Indian, Chinese, it doesn't matter. In Christ, we are all one. In Christ, we all have equal access to Almighty God. In Christ, we are one family. We are at peace with each other. Amen. Sometimes as Christians, you know, and especially with how we believe, we have our beliefs, we kind of knock other people out in our minds. Well, they don't believe the way I do. They're different. But what God wants us to do is remember is that if it wasn't for the grace of God, you would be them. Or you could even be the bum that's laying in the gutter, you know, drunk. It's God's grace that makes us who we are. So everybody's in a different position of potential. Somebody may be farther along spiritually than you are. You could be condemning somebody because they don't dress the way you think would be appropriate, but at the same time, they may be more loving to others than you are. See, so God could have be working on that part of their life. He is the master. We are only the piece. So don't let you, one little piece, condemn the other little piece. You see what I'm saying? I hope that's understood. So, amen. If the artist is working on an eye over here and an ear over here, you can't condemn the ear. Remember what Paul said about that? The ear has to be there too. You don't want to put the eye where the ear is. That wouldn't be fun. So that's what it is. And finally, and this is the one of utmost importance, and really I said all that, those four different qualifications or qualities of the peace of God, to bring us to the fifth element of the peace of God and build on this today. And that is peace with ourselves. And really you could say second to the peace of God, having the peace of God, is really to be able to have peace with yourself. It's very difficult to have peace with your family, your fellow believer, with your enemy, and with anybody else, if you struggle with having peace with yourself, peace within yourself. And we're going to address a couple of things which are paramount. I've been studying about the fact that the Generation X and millennials, which, by the way, those are two different things, but I'm starting to lose track. I'm really glad we're getting to the end of the alphabet, though. It's kind of nice. Maybe the Lord comes on Z. But my point is that, you know, there's so much of a challenge for that generation, anybody who's in their 20s or I think early 30s on down, because of the challenge is anxiety. I think we're more and more in a time today when the world is ill at ease. Yes. The future is less promising. Yes. And it's partly because we are moving so quickly. Fashions change, technology just keeps changing. How many goes out and gets a new phone and then right after you buy it, they unroll the brand new phone? Isn't it weird? It's like, what is going on? I mean, you can't even, that's just the way it is. And I think this has just created such an anxiety with people, and the future is so unsure. But that's why we need more of the Lord in our lives. We need Christ in our lives because he is the only thing that's sure. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I do not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Yeah. And that's the part where I can just anchor my heart, my soul, my destiny, and I can rest in it. I can relax in it. I can have peace in it, knowing he's in charge. I'm okay. We're okay. You were worried 10 years ago about what's going to happen today because you didn't know. But here you are. You're sitting here. Are you still worried? No, you made it. Why? Because God takes us from one place to another. He's the one who's carrying us all along. So here's what I want to just lay this down to you. God intends that we not only enjoy the master's peace, but that we also master peace. Does everybody get that? God intends that you not only enjoy Jesus' peace, the master's peace, but also that we learn how to master peace. A lot of times, we just want to feel at peace. We want to feel peaceful. We want to feel rested. We want to feel relaxed. And it starts to become something that's elusive, and we're not able to experience it because we're kind of waiting for it to come around whenever it does. And the Bible is, I'm going to show you, the Bible demonstrates very clearly that it's up to us to take the peace of God that he's given us and put it in a place where it has control. Oh, I know, that's a tough one. That's the reason for anxiety, by the way, is because you're in control. Right? Cast all your worries on him, for he cares for you. Those are two different words, care. We have the original, the language of the 1611 King James, which says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. There's two different words, cares. The one is worries. It's the same word Jesus used when he says, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about your food, your clothing, all those things. God knows what you have need of. He will supply your needs. Amen? So this is really important. So what we're called of God to do is to master this peace. Master it. Amen? It's in Romans 14:19 where it says, therefore let us pursue. Everybody here, who knows what the word pursue means? Pursue means to chase down until you capture. To go after something, pursue it, right? My brother Mark hunts, and some of you hunt here, and that's what you do. You're pursuing game. You're pursuing a certain animal that you want to hunt and gain, and there's a pursuit to it, even if you're sitting in a tree stand. You might say, he's just sitting there in a tree stand. No, he had to go. He had to plan it out. He had to buy all the equipment. He had to get trained. He had to practice. He had to go into the woods. He had to find the right place. He had to put the stand up where he sees where the animals are going through. He has a way to try to attract the animals. And so this is all pursuing. Some people do hunt, like my uncle used to before he passed away, just seriously doing 20 miles in the woods in a day. I mean, that's hunting. But it says, let us pursue the things which make for peace. And the things by which one may edify another. When you pursue the things that bring peace into your heart, into your life, harmony, into your being, there's going to be this peace that's going to emanate from you that's going to impact your brother, your sister, and everybody else around you. You're going to edify, build them up because you're not trying to scramble, you know, yourself. It's important that we actively pursue peace with one another, but I found that in order to really get that peace with one another, as I've established earlier, we need to be mastering personal peace. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's paramount that we do this. We have to do this. And it's like I said, so elusive, so difficult for so many Christians to do this. One of the things that the world is missing is peace. It's really something that will attract people to Christ in your life, is that you do have peace. And when people know your story and they know some of the things you're going through, that you're struggling with, but at the same time you're not struggling, you have peace about it, they want to know, well, how do you have this? I need that in my life. Do you see what's happening? This is just one great way that we are attracting people to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Isn't that a strong thing to tell us? No, but it's the Bible's not just making something up to just sound really poetic and just to be words of wisdom. These are words of wisdom, but these are the words of Almighty God. Be anxious for nothing. But... now, isn't that great? Well, then, you know why people are anxious? Because they feel like they want to do something, but they can't do anything about a situation. So there's the anxiety, the frustration, everything else. We all go through this. I go through it. You go through it. But it gives us a but. In other words, yes, there is actually something you can do. But in everything, every trouble, every trial, every difficulty, every challenge, everything that could normally make you anxious, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, I mean, this is like ingredients that go into the best clam chowder you could ever have. I don't know if we can make it as good as your wife there, or Brother Mark, but best clam chowder ever. You got to have all the right ingredients in there, right? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will that which surpasses all understanding. Surpasses it, because our understanding is our way of trying to be in a it's a control mechanism. If I can understand it, then I can control it. I control the information. I feel, but it's that is a slippery kind of peace. That's not real peace. It's here today and gone tomorrow. This is real peace because you don't have to understand the outcome. You do not have to know how it's all going to turn out. All you need to know is you've thrown all your worries, your anxieties on Him, your concerns are on Him, and He's responsible. He's responsible. You know? I mean, it's like the way we, and Brother Bram said this, he said, sometimes the way we pray, our prayers do more damage than good. Because we pray, he says, in a cowardly way. And I think of it this way. We throw all our cares on Jesus. Like, you know, we load all our stuff into the back of our cars and our trunk because we got to carry it somewhere. It'd be a whole lot easier than trying to just carry it on foot, right? We put it in our car. But then we're worried, and then we take it again. And you're just standing with your car, filling it and emptying it, filling it and emptying it. Are you going anywhere? See, so if we can just put all our cares on Him, we can just go forward. He will carry them. He will take care of them. How will it turn out? I don't know. But I have a feeling it's going to turn out good. Why am I worried about it? He's got it. It's not my concern. Don't take it back. Let your requests be made known to God. Isn't that very powerful? All you have to do is let your requests be made known to God. And I wish I could share. It's just, it's a family thing. My brother Mark knows what it's about. But I'll give you a basic on it. There was a settlement that was lingering about with my dad, and we were just wondering what is going on. But I finally said, Lord, you take care of it. And you'll settle that. You'll take care of that. And I just felt at peace, and it just happened just like that. Started rolling. It's just God's good, isn't he? But he says, what it is the peace of God is going to surpass all your understanding, and it will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is very powerful. Every time you are making your requests known to God, doing it with prayer, supplication, and with thanksgiving, right? Thankfulness, your attitude. Every time you do that, not only are you going to receive peace that passes all understanding, it is already in you, but it's going to come into your mind, into your heart, and it's going to saturate you. But also, that very peace of God serves another purpose. It guards you. It starts blocking the attacks of more anxiety, more worries. Even if you hear bad news, you don't go, oh man, I was going forward now. And how many's ever said this? I've made one step forward and two steps backward. No, that's not how it's going to be for you. So don't even think along those lines. He's guarding you, and that's what's so beautiful about it. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. Now, when we have peace with ourselves, it becomes so much easier to have peace with others. We can have peace with our lives, with our careers, with other things. And of course, it's impossible to experience peace with ourselves without obtaining first peace with God, right? I've made that very clear. And that peace that we received is a free gift from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how can we, or how do we have peace with ourselves? How can we experience this peace on earth that the Bible promises and that Jesus granted us? How do we have it, but how can we experience it? You see the difference? If I wrapped a gift for you and you brought it home and you put it in your safe and you never opened it, never looked at it, you wouldn't know there's $1,000 sitting in there. It's just wasting away. The point I'm making is peace is given to us to get to use it, to get to experience it. Not to say, I know I'm going to go to heaven someday. I know Jesus is coming back. Everything's all set. It's more than that. You get to have it today. You get to experience the powers of the age to come today. He will be the Prince of Peace then, but he's the Prince of Peace now, today. And here's how I want to put this together. How do we get to experience this peace today? How do we get to have it? It's an acronym. We're going to use the word peace. P-E-A-C-E. So we're going to use that as an acronym. We're going to start with number one. P stands for pray. Praying. Prayer. Didn't we just read about it? There's something about when we pray, it starts bringing God's peace into our lives. 1 Timothy 2:1 says this, therefore I exhort first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Isn't that wonderful? See how that works. When you pray for your boss, your work gets better. Your life gets better. When you pray for the president, the world can get better. For you, you get to have a peaceable life on this earth. Remember the power of prayer, what it will do. You ever have people say something like, when you get a little stressed out, they say, just breathe. Something like that, or take a deep breath, you know, or breathe in, breathe out, relax, keep calm. You ever see that shirt? Keep calm. Jesus is coming. Keep calm. No, I just made that up. I don't know if you've seen it. But praying is like breathing. It stops you from all your activity, from all the mental activity, and starts to focus you on down into who is really important in your life, and that's Almighty God. And He is our peace, who surpasses all understanding. So don't forget that. P stands for prayer. I hope you're writing this down. E stands for educate. That may seem a little strange because peace that passes or surpasses all understanding is connected to educate. I'm not talking about that kind of education. You don't need a PhD. Amen. But let the word of God teach you, praise the Lord, how to think and feel. Amen. Let the word of God teach you how to think and feel. So many Christians feel like, you know, the word of God is here and I'm over here. And I think and feel and it's separate from that. In some cases, there's even a whole thought that our thoughts, our thinking, and our feelings are all of the darkness. And the Bible is separate from that. But that's not how it works. God desires to take over our thinking and our feeling, and we must allow that to happen. It says in Philippians 4:8-9, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if, in other words, anything positive, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Praise the Lord. And then it says, these things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and God and the God of peace will be with you. One of the greatest things to experience God's peace is just to take control of your thinking. You say, how am I supposed to do that, Brother Elijah? We do struggle with it because we are so associated with our thinking and identified with our thinking. My thinking, you know, I think, therefore I am. Doesn't work that way. Your thoughts are just computer programs that are put into the, but somebody has to be tapping the keys. And that's you. Well, I think the way I do because the way I was raised. I think the way I do because this is the way I learned it in school. And that's not true. You think the way you do because you've allowed others to control it, but somebody controlled it. But now that you're born again and have been delivered and set free, and are experiencing the freedom of the Lord, guess what? You get to, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, take control of your thoughts and of your feelings. You get to do that. That's hard to do. That's not easy. you'll find that it's easier to move a mountain than it is to get yourself to get under control. But God desires that you take your ability to think and start programming the right thoughts. Get the right substance of your thinking in front of you. Focus on those things. Amen? And then it says the peace of God will be with you. It's amazing. Train your mind and your heart how to think and feel. Remember, you have God's peace that surpasses understanding. So now bring your understanding into the peace of God. You see, when you read that scripture, oh, we have peace that surpasses understanding. It's not saying toss out your understanding. You don't need it. It's just saying don't rely on your understanding to give your peace. You got it backwards. Instead, let the peace of God surpassing your understanding bring your understanding into that very peace. So you get to do that. How do we do that? Well, as we spoke earlier, you have the Word of God to come and educate you. Take God's Word and let that start to be your thoughts. If there be anything lovely, how can you think of anything more lovely than God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. In the Old Testament, he said, my people perish for lack of vision. In one place, same word, perish for lack of knowledge. Isn't that interesting? God's really upset that they lack knowledge. He's not looking for this normal worldly wisdom or knowledge. He's looking for a knowledge that you have, that you know him and he knows you. It's relationship knowledge. If you know him and he knows you, you can trust him. That's where your peace comes from, amen? P-E, prayer, pray, educate. A, allow. It's a powerful word. And it's really tough because we are a people who protect ourselves. Anybody need to hand out the sanitizer over there? Anybody need sanitizer? What do? People take showers in sanitizer. Now they're finding out that they're getting sick all the time because they're killing off the good, friendly bacteria along with the bad. It's like putting your skin on antibacterial something. And the whole thing is that you and I have to learn how to allow. Now, I want to read a scripture to you to kind of back this up because this is really where I'm going with it. Allow, it says in Colossians 3:14, allow the peace of God to rule in your hearts. We're so not allowing anyone else to be in control that we don't even allow Jesus to be in control. Jesus is our peace. Let him rule in your hearts. What I'm asking you to do is to abdicate your throne. Leave your throne. You're not all that, and you're not all that smart, and neither am I. We all need to step down from the throne room of our hearts and say, Jesus, take over. Peace, I allow you to take control. You've got the reins. But wait a minute, Brother Elijah, you can't just do that. You can't sit there and do nothing, let the whole world just fall down around you. Oh, yeah, I can. Because nothing is going to happen, and I am not going to change anything really and significantly until I let peace rule and reign in my heart. Allow the peace of God to rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Wow, that's three times. Did anybody get a little bit of a theme under there, like a sub-theme? Be thankful. How thankful are we? We're not thankful enough, but in there is the secret where peace is lying. Now, as long as you attempt to stay in control, you will not enjoy peace like you should. You must allow God's peace to fully take over and rule in your heart. Can you say amen? The center of your emotions. This also means in the midst of stressful situations when you're anxious for the future. Isn't it amazing how many times that you get anxious throughout your life, and when you are experiencing it, you feel very justified in being anxious or upset or angry or whatever it is. And you feel, everybody does. We're humans. We feel justified. We feel like I'm in the right. Even though in a lot of ways you've got your conscience saying, hey, this isn't right. Hey, you need to, what are you doing? Where are you going with this, right? But some other part of you wants to just do it. But the Bible is telling us we have to learn how to allow the peace of God in those stressful situations to just take over. Instead of gripping on the reins of control, you must allow. All things work together for the good to them who are called of God and who love God. Can you say amen? That's how you take those scriptures and start applying them to your life. So pray, educate, allow, and see, cleanse. Sometimes the reason your engine on your car is sounding so rough is and it's not having peace, it's not working in harmony, is because it needs a good cleaning. Amen. They have actually the programs at your repair shop where they can totally clean out your engine, your radiator, whatever it is. And those are good things. And I believe that's what the Bible really teaches us, that as Christians, it's not a one-time cleaning. Even though it's the eternal cleaning that Jesus did by his death and the blood, right? But Jesus said to Peter, when Peter said, okay, Lord, wash me all over, he said, those of you who are bathed don't need to be bathed again. You just need to have your hands or your feet washed. He's giving an example of kind of a natural types of spiritual. Once you have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, can you say amen? Then we have a daily washing of the water of the Word. Constantly washing the little sticky stuff that sticks with us from the world. Just keep washing it off. And that's what this is saying here in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. How many wants that? And may your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is he saying there? When Almighty God does a cleansing work daily in your life, he's the God of peace, is that right? He's bringing peace, praise the Lord, amen, to your spirit, to your body, to your soul. Every part of you is coming into harmony. And so he wants you to be in harmony to the day that Jesus comes. How many knows we're getting close to that, right? So I have an announcement to make at this point, and we're going to wrap this up, but I have an announcement to make, and that is you're not perfect. Now, there's some of you in here that really, really bothers you because you are what's called a classic perfectionist. But the person, actually, interesting enough, person who knows they're not perfect the most is a perfectionist. Otherwise, they'd stop striving. But you're not perfect. But here I have a second announcement. You ready for this? He is. Amen. You get it? You're not. He is. This should make life a lot easier. The Bible again says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? If he starts, he's going to finish. And it's going to finish well. He's going to get the job done. When it comes to our spiritual walk, we're all perfectionists. You know, we're all a little bit OCD. We're just so self-picking. This is the part where we got to move away from that, because that's where we're losing the kind of peace, internal peace, peace with ourselves, peace within ourselves that we could really have. And the only way we can have that harmony, that shalom, is to realize that in Christ we are already perfect. He'll take care of all the details, but as far as he's concerned, you're done. He'll finish you, but he's not worried about it. We're going to get there. He will complete it. He never starts something and leaves it sitting there. He doesn't start to tear something apart and then leave it with pieces around. That's how we do things. He does not do that. He will break you down if he needs to, but he's going to build you back up better. He will complete the work. So that is our letter C, praise the Lord, cleanse. Now we go back to another E, because peace has two E's in it, and we have this word evangelize. And you might think, well, how is that helping with my peace? This is not just about you experiencing peace. You get to experience it, as we've just gone through P-E-A-C. But now that you have been enjoying God's peace and experiencing it, you should share it with others. And in some way, it's amazing, but whatever you share with others, you end up having more of. It's like planting seeds. You're going to have a crop, whatever you plant. If you're planting disharmony, you're going to get more disharmony yourself. But if you're planting this love, joy, peace, those kinds of fruits are being given out. Fruits have seeds in them. And seeds have trees in them. And trees have multiplied fruit in them. So it never stops. It's a ripple effect when you sow peace to others, as Jesus very clearly said, I want you to be peacemakers, then it produces a kingdom of peace all around you. For many, going outside of their home or close circle of friends or family creates anxiety. And that's typical of this world. People just kind of like to sit in their own little place and little protection. And some of you have your special spot in church. That's your chair. That's where you're seated. And I notice some people are sitting in different places now. It's all jumbled. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, but it creates anxiety. I've heard that in some churches, somebody will walk up, that's my seat. That's my seat. And the guy's like, what? No, we're not to be that way, saints. There's no way. God did not ordain you to sit in a pew. Imagine the rapture goes and you're like still sitting in your pew. Thank you, Lord. At least I got my seat. You kind of missed the most important part of it. Some Christians really struggle with connecting with anyone outside of their church family, anyone outside of their circle of familiarity. And I believe the reason this is because of just fear of the unknown, and in some cases it's absolute worry about public humiliation. But some of you, it's your character, it's your nature, it's your personality, and that's okay. God doesn't want you to change your personality. If you're not an outgoing, friendly type person, don't fake it till you make it. That's not what it's about. Be you. Just be you. If you're more kind of what they call an introvert, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Everybody's made a little differently. If you're just kind of that person that you don't know how to warm up to people, don't try to do it. You don't need to. But what you do want to do is always be ready. Just be kind of in your mind prepared that if somebody asks about the hope or the peace that you have within you, that you're ready to give them an answer. Never be caught off guard when people start asking questions or spiritual questions. Be ready. See, what God will do for those of you who are not going out and just touching base with everybody and making friends is God will send you people. But you've got to be open to it. If you want to have the E in your peace, you need to have enough of an evangelist mindset that says, Lord, today as I go out, go to work, I got a regular kind of a schedule, send people my way. Let me talk to somebody about you. Let them ask me, and I will trust that you will give me the right answers so that this peace, this love, joy, peace that I have, I can share with them. You are just a tree of life that people can come up to and take some fruit off of, and now you're just transforming their life with Jesus. Amen? Does that make sense? We must remember that God has sent us out and that he never sends us out alone. He is with us. He is our peace. He always is with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So don't fear anything. And unlike Saul's armor, which was absolutely insufficient, we get to put on God's armor. This is something really cool for those of you who do struggle with public or people or what have you. You know, we have to bust out of the four walls of this building, right? But sometimes it's it really freaks people out. Well, there's a sense of security that comes from putting on God's armor. If you put on that armor, it gives you that feeling that I'm not going to defend myself. He's defending me. I'm not going to win this battle. The battle is the Lord's. I'm just happen to be the one in the armor. But it's Almighty God who's in me. You're a mighty man of valor. You're a mighty woman of valor. But it's Almighty God that's calling you. He's supplying you the need to have success. The last piece of armor, how many knows the last piece of armor is? As far as I know, I might be off on this, but I just thought I remember it being the last one, is Ephesians 6:15. It says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I love that. I wonder what shod. Don't they use that word shod when you put horse shoes on horses, right? You nail them in and everything. I think that's a good way to put these kind of shoes. They're not, you don't put them on when you feel like it, take them off. You got to nail them in. These are shod. You know, you just nail these right on your feet. That sounds painful. The point being that you're always ready with preparation. You're always prepared to share the gospel of peace. Isn't that amazing? The word gospel of peace isn't used very often, but it's used here. You have received the peace of God. And how many could say there was a time in my life when I was so stressed out, I was so struggling, I felt like I had to do drugs, I had to do alcohol, I had to, you know, go to these places and do things to try to rest my mind and try to relax. How many's ever been there? I've been there. But when the peace of God moves in, it just starts rearranging everything. And it rearranges everything in harmony. Everything starts to make sense again. Oh, that's where that's supposed to be. This is how my life is supposed to be. And you start to feel that peace of God. It's surpassing all the worries and all the... And you start learning, I just want to stay in God's peace. And that's exactly what He wants for you. Yes, there's a storm. Some of you are experiencing very heavy-duty storms. But there's always an eye in the midst of the storm. Sometimes you let yourself down, you let your spouse down, you let your friends down, you let your family down, and it just feels like you are being hit with a storm. But Jesus is the eye of the storm. Amen. He is that peace that surmounts all misunderstanding, all struggles. He is that peace that just anchors you within the veil. I'm connected with God. Nothing could separate me from the love of God. I will make it to heaven. I'm making it to Him. It's never going to change. Praise the Lord. And I know that my God is going to take care of everything. You might say, and might have said, I'm not what I should be. And I'm certainly not what I want to be. But thank the Lord, I'm not what I used to be. He who has brought you to this point will carry you all the way through. You can rest on that. You can rest on that. How many remembers that? That's the voice of the people. We are resting on that. Isn't that amazing? When you die, you don't, like we were always taught, you sleep. Everybody's just out of consciousness. No, those people are in another dimension. They're not even far from us. They're over there resting, but they're not resting like, you know, I need a nap, my brain hurts. They're like, so that's what we need here, right? They're resting on something. They're resting on a promise that we're all going in. We're going to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. We're going to crown Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is going to be the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Peace, Melchizedek. He's the Lord of Peace, the Bible talks about. He's the Prince of Peace. And we get to reign and rule with Him in 1,000 years of peace. 1,000 years of peace. And we're going to be ruling and reigning with Him. But we have to practice ruling and reigning here. If you can't control your own thinking, your thoughts, your internals, you see, the Bible says he who can control his mind, his spirit, can control a whole city. If we're going to get to the point where we're going to rule and reign with Him, and I know we are, how many can say amen? Then we've got to be able to control. How do we do it? The peace of God, if you let it, will take control. Does it mean you sit around and do nothing? No, I just shared with you a bunch of things you're supposed to do. You got something to do too. You can't sit around and do nothing, but God will bless it. And you have received this beautiful peace from God, which Jesus paid for at great price. It's free, but not cheap. It's free, but not cheap. So now freely share it with others. Freely you have received, freely share with others. Do you love Him with all your heart? How many appreciates that? Everyone take a deep breath and just release it. Isn't it exciting that we get to have the peace? Imagine this. You have the peace of God. Let's get a little picture before we sing a song here. I'll have the musicians come. I want you to get a little picture. God's sitting on the throne. He's over the whole entire universe. He's over every dimension. The devil's running around sweating beads and bullets. He's just worried and stressed. His kingdom's falling apart at the seams. He's trying to keep it together. There's no peace in the devil's kingdom. Here's God sitting on a throne, just relaxing. God is in an eternal state of peace. And it is impermeable. It cannot be shaken or broken. His peace is permanent. That's God's peace. Jesus demonstrated that peace. And now he gives it to us. So guess what kind of peace you have? You have God's peace. Let's master it. Let's let it be the master of every part of our lives. Amen? Do you love him with all your heart? I don't think we have it necessarily. The words might be on somewhere. Maybe Sister Grace can go. But let's sing, "He is our peace." He has broken down all the walls that create disharmony within ourselves and among ourselves. And he has caused our thinking, our minds, because we're letting him do it, to start thinking on the fact that we are anchored to the word foundation. Nothing can shake us. Let's just sing it from our heart. And before we sing it, I want you to just, if you would be honest with me, raise your hand and just say, "Brother Elijah, I struggle with having peace in my life. I'm not sleeping like I should. I'm not trusting like I should. I'm letting anxiety take over too many times. I know the peace of God is there, but it's not ruling. It needs to rule." How many can say that? I'm there. But this is the time when we make that decision. Would you do that? While we're singing, make the decision. "He is our peace, who has broken down every wall." Sing it now. "He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall." From your soul, sing from your heart. "He is our peace." Yes, he is our peace. Let's throw all our cares on him right now, all your worries. "So cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you." Thank the Lord. "He is our peace." Yes, Lord Jesus. "He is our peace." "So I cast all my cares on him, for he cares for me." "He is my peace. He is my peace." I want you to close your eyes and sing it to Jesus. "You are my peace. You have broken down every wall. You are my peace. You are my peace." Lord Jesus, we sing to you. "You are my peace." Once again, sing to Jesus. "You are my peace." And Lord, you have broken down every wall. You are my peace. You are my peace. You are my peace. You are my peace. "I cast all my cares on you. I cast all my cares on you. For you care. For you care for me." You, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. "You are my peace." I cast all my cares on you, for you care for me. Jesus, you care. You are my peace. You are my peace. You are my peace. You are my peace. With your heads bowed, everyone, Lord Jesus. Lord, we've raised our hands and our hearts to you, and in the hearing of your word, we feel this peace, this wind of peace just passing over us, saying, you're at peace. You're at rest. You're resting on this. You're trusting in this, Lord, and we want to thank you for that, Father. How that even if we get stirred up, frustrated, upset, anxious, filled with anxiety, in the end, Lord, we're learning you're the peace. You're the calm in the storm. You're the harmony in a midst of disharmony. You're the ease, even if there's dis-ease. You're the shalom when everything seems shattered. You're my peace, Lord. You pass all things that try to rise up and stir us up, Lord. You are peace, and we love you, Jesus. Thank you for the peace of God, peace with God. Thank you for peace among ourselves and with each other. Thank you, Father, for the fact that we can have peace internally with ourselves. Thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. And I pray for everybody here that you would continue this growth of peace in Jesus' name. One more time. Let's stand as we sing it. You are my peace. You have broken down every wall. Oh, yes, you are.